John Batchelor. Bidenomics. The president advancing Bidenomics as a campaign strategy, and it's working very well to understand the president's ambitions to be reelected. However, the facts are difficult to explain. For example, I learned from Veronique de Regie of the Mercatus Center, writing at Creators Syndicate, that the median household income, inflation adjusted, in the United States has declined from 2021, $76,330 to 2022, $74,580. That doesn't sound positive. How did we get this reduction while enjoying Bidenomics and the government being very lavish in its spending? It was lavish with Mr. Trump. It's lavish with Mr. Biden. Veronique, a very good evening to you. We're going backwards. Why? How did this happen? Because after all, we've been growing. The GDP is positive. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, we're growing, but we're not growing as much as we were growing a few months ago, a year or two ago. But more importantly, I think inflation is really taking a toll. It could be also that a lot of the COVID relief has been spent. So that's part of the reduction. But inflation is really taking a toll. Real wages have been declining for many months, and prices, right? The fact that inflation is still going down doesn't mean that prices have gone down. It means that the rate at which they go up is declining. That's what it means. So in, like, for instance, like 50% of the budget for a regular family is food, energy, and shelter. And that is still going up roughly 5% a year. So that's, prices are still going up for a big part of the budget, of people's budget. So they're still really feeling the heat of inflation.
Bidenomics, however, is a boast that the government spending has accelerated our recovery from the pandemic and puts us in a good place to grow over the years. Is that not supported by these statistics? Is inflation a result of Bidenomics, or was it there before anyway?
Yeah, no, it was. So we overspent during the pandemic, but I think kind of the last nail on the coffin was the fact that American Rescue Plan in March 2021, which was at least 2.5, if not 3 times bigger than the output gap. And also the fact that no one in the Biden administration and in Congress was talking about the fact that they were sending people money and spending money, but that was still kind of part of the recovery effort, and there would be a price to be paid later with basically higher taxes or lower spending. Effectively, what that bill did was to send money to people and say, and the same was true during COVID, and say, you know, that money is free. You can save it. You can spend it as if it's never going to be taken away from you. And that, unfortunately, is what fuels inflation.
I puzzled during the COVID because I would hear these stories, and every once in a while I'd talk to people about it. We were working. We continued to work from home, or in my case, I traveled to New York and I traveled the world. COVID was something you made decisions about. At the same time, checks were going out to people who were earning their salaries, or checks were going out to companies that were being subsidized in some fashion by the government. Those checks, they didn't seem to have any relationship to people's needs. They were just pushing money into the economy. Did that cause inflation?
Yeah, especially it was always going to be a problem, again, because it was not just that you were sending money to people who didn't need it, even though that was the case. But it was also that we were doing not just the checks, not just the money for the company, but for individuals, we were doing unemployment benefits plus bonuses, plus paid leave, plus the rent moratorium, plus student loan forgiveness, plus the individual checks. And it was just, I mean, the you can't, I mean, if you just remember under in during the Obama, during the Great Recession, I mean, the size of the stimulus, which everyone was horrified by because of its size, was less than $1 trillion, what, $800 billion. This was basically, we sent effectively what ended up being $5 trillion out.
What we have now is less than we had last year. So what is to be done? The Federal Reserve meeting within these hours, very convenient for them to have summed up where we are. Trust the data, says the Federal Reserve's chairman, Jerome Powell. They chose not to raise rates in September. There are two more meetings this year. If I understand, the determination is they're going to keep a rate rise in their pockets and then not cut rates for an indefinite period of time. Will that solve this excess money that seems to be still in the system?
The Federal Reserve, and you and I have talked about this, it shouldn't be doing this on its own, right? My prediction is going to be that, so the increase in interest rates that we've seen hasn't tackled inflation fully. You know, we're still, core inflation is still at 4.3%, and the top line is at 3.7%, and it's gone up a little bit. I think we're really not done with inflation because, and we're not going to be done with inflation because rates have gone up, and it means that interest payment for the Treasury have gone up. And the question is going to be, how is Treasury going to pay for those increased interest on the debt? And what they're very likely to do is not to raise taxes or cut spending or figure out how to accommodate those higher interest on the debt. They're going to borrow it. And the borrowing is adding fuel to the fire. And the more the Fed raise interest rate to try to finish the job on inflation, as long as the fiscal authority, Congress and the administration don't do what they need to do, which is basically make some space for either raise taxes or reduce spending, that would be my preferred option, we're going to have a problem with inflation. What people forget is that the Volcker episode, it wasn't just raising interest rates. Over the course of a few years, the Reagan administration actually did a fair amount of fueling economic growth with supply side reforms, but also fiscal consolidation through different, like reforming Social Security, for instance, was important because they made accommodations to actually not pay with future Social Security benefit with borrowing money, at least for a while, you know, until 2010. So the Fed can't do it alone.
Right. You've said this before, Congress has to lend a hand. And at this point, there's no interest that I can see in Bidenomics asking Congress to spend less. Veronique Durazzo, the Mercatus Center, Greater Syndicate. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,